In this talk, we see how a worldly, cosmopolitan, elegant lady who had absolutely no time for the things of God until she met Padre Pio. And this is the first part. If you have already seen the first video, then please do go through to the second video. There's a link right at the end of this video. Hello, I am Edward Urban. And on this YouTube channel, Following Padre Pio, we investigate the absolutely incredible life of the Capuchin monk and miracle worker whose intercession is still so powerful today. So if you, a family member or a friend, is in need of his help and intercession, then do follow this channel. And we hope that you'll be amazed to find out how Padre Pio can help you, what he can do for you. So if you are new to our channel, then please do like, share and subscribe to our channel. And of course, click that reminder bell too. We see that a number of people have enrolled this week on their mass prayer intentions. So we want to thank you. And this is really encouraging to us. It's tremendous news. And please, others, join in our Padre Pio apostolate too. And now we continue with the anatomy of a conversion, the first part. There was this lady called Luisa Vario, who was born into an extremely wealthy family who strove to cater for her every need and whim. And she grew up, as a result, highly cultivated and intelligent, but could find neither in the books that she read nor in the luxuries and pleasures of her life any lasting satisfaction. She was refined and elegant, shining in high social circles, and her tastes, yet they were never fulfilled. Consequently, this left her always looking for something new, something different, unexpected experiences. She reached a point where all the pleasures and sensations that she sought left her more with disgust than with joy. Unfortunately, her materialistic life made Luisa, they left her insensible and prejudiced against the thought of anything of the hereafter. And she simply scoffed at anyone who spoke to her of God. She was, in fact, vehemently anti-clerical. Well, one day in the mid-1920s, one of her circle of friends, a gentleman who was a good friend of hers, departed and went to Rome on a pleasure trip. And while in the Eternal City, this man heard of a monk called Padre Pio. He felt this great desire in him to go and meet this monk. So he traveled down to San Giovanni Rotondo. And then when he returned to London, after having encountered the saint, he was like a new person. Almost the opposite of what he had been before. So this was the effect of Padre Pio on him. He went and met his group of friends again, and when they spoke in an offensive way, in a way that was somehow offensive, it met with his disapproval. He expressed his disapproval. Well, Vario and her companions, they weren't too happy about this, and knowing that he had been to Rome, they now began to mock him. And they said, "Now that you have been to Rome, you want to become a monk." And they would not let him continue speaking. They drowned him out with their mockeries and laughter. But he remained absolutely calm, and their shouting failed to disturb him. Well, finally, they desisted and asked him that they could hear his story. Maybe he was a little annoyed, so at this stage he said, "I myself will tell you nothing. Go to San Giovanni Rotondo and see for yourselves." However, later on, he spoke with Luisa and told her about San Giovanni Rotondo and about Padre Pio. And she, being ever the lover of something new and unexpected, she soon undertook the journey to visit Padre Pio's modest hermitage. When she arrived in San Giovanni Rotondo, she was immediately disgusted by the town, because in those days it was very primitive. There was no electricity, no running water. And she, however, was used to a cosmopolitan society, fancy palazzia and luxurious hotels. She was accustomed to this. So right there and then, she made up her mind that immediately after seeing Padre Pio, she was going to go straight home. There was no question about it. And then she clambered up the rugged path, or the trail, the unpaved trail that led to Padre Pio's monastery. And on the route, she started to think about and to experience a whole series of new and strange sentiments, feelings that she had never felt before. Perhaps it was the tiny birds flying through the trees, or the budding almond trees, or the murmur of distant water, or the blue, beautiful sky of Bella Italia. And the sad reality of her life began to appear before her mind. And she felt as though she had lived without accomplishing anything. She began to feel this sensation of rebellion or disgust against herself for having given in to worldly appearances instead of having listened to her heart. And then, reaching the top of the hill on which Padre Pio's monastery was situated, and these alternate waves of melancholy and an infinite sweetness, they overwhelmed her. These new sensations, together with the actual thought of meeting, of encountering Padre Pio, who had changed her friend's life, the anticipation of meeting the stigmatic, that is, he bore the wounds of our Lord's crucifixion on his hands and feet, of meeting him, someone who knew everything about one's soul, this all just overwhelmed her. And then, arriving at the threshold of the little church, she found herself trembling and fearful. As she entered, she could not hold back. Loud sobs and tears just overwhelmed her and started overflowing from the sorrows and pains which she felt deep within. And later she would state it like this: "I can only say that in that church, I felt the ice of my heart melting." Some women who were there hurried over in order to help her, and Padre Pio followed shortly thereafter. As soon as Padre Pio saw Luisa, before she could even say anything, he told her, "Signora, be calm, because the mercy of God is infinite, and Jesus died on the cross to save sinners." She noticed at once an exceptional brightness about Padre Pio and began to feel calm. The other woman did not know the hidden reason behind her tears, of course, but they knew enough to let her alone, to be with Padre Pio, to talk to Padre Pio, and she asked him to hear her confession. But Padre Pio told her now is not the time, and that she should rather come back when she's calmed down, come back at 3 o'clock. However, she was also worried because she wasn't sure if she knew how to make her confession any longer. So she mentioned this to Padre Pio. And listen to what he told her. He said, if she could not confess, he would say the confession for her. Well, that's quite a claim. How do you make someone else's confession for them? Luisa went into the church to make an examination of conscience, but she found that she could not even recall how to make the examination of conscience because she had been away from the sacraments for so long, for so many years. And besides, she could not even recall very many of her sins, of these serious sins she had committed. She could not recall them or remember them. Well, later she returned to the confessional, a little calmer, but still rent with tears and sobs, which made her unable to speak. So this is what happened next. Padre Pio himself began by describing all the varied and diverse periods of her life and adventures and vicissitudes, pointing out the grave errors she had committed and how they had in fact kept her away from God. And when he had finished enumerating her sins, he asked Luisa if she could recall anything else that she should confess. So he certainly did make the confession for her. He knew all her sins, he could read her heart, he could read her past life, and he recounted, is this what it is? Is this what it is? Well, in her heart, she felt two distinct impulses. The one said that she should confess a certain sin, and that it was an important sin, and if not mentioned, would somehow invalidate the whole confession. And then the other impulse said, told her that if it had been important, Padre Pio would have mentioned the sin. So rather leave it. Well, fortunately, Luisa followed the good impulse and confessed that sin. And then finally, at that point, Padre Pio replied, "Finally, that is the one I have been waiting for." And he gave her absolution. Well, she left the chapel. All her sins had been lifted off her, so now she was absolutely filled with happiness, and she was experiencing for the first time the joy and peace that she had been trying to capture through her vain worldly pursuits. And later, she said that even if she had kept a journal, a book, all her life describing all her sins, it could not have been more accurate than Padre Pio's account, as he had not overlooked even the smallest faults. Remember, this is the very first time he had met her, and he had told her everything about her life, all the faults that kept her, separated her from God. So that is the first part of our video, and describes the conversion of Luisa Vario. And because it's quite a long video, we've split it into two, so you can just click through here to the second part of the video.